One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the show. Thank you so sincerely for letting us into your life every week, making us part of your routine when you're walking your dog and when you're supposed to be working, whatever you're doing. Thanks for letting us in your life. We're the Degenerates. I'm Ryan. That's Dave.
Hey.
And Bobby.
A lot of energy today, Ryan.
Yeah,
I like
right?
it. Good,
yeah,
good feel.
I had a big bag of meth for breakfast.
You holding out on us? What's up?
So last night, I got to start off with this. So last night, the Strikers were playing over at Soda Bar here in San Diego. So me and a good chunk of the Gore-Generates went. It was me, Jared from the Gore Horsemen, his girlfriend, Edge and Ashley went. So anyway, we're all over there. And if you guys recall, the last time we saw the Strikers play, some fat drunk guy was making an ass of himself, knocking over mic stands on the stage on purpose, and then threw air into the ground, in which case I beat the ever-loving shit out of him. So that fat drunk guy was there again. And so Jared pointed him out initially because he went in the pit, opened a tall boy of PBR, and just started throwing it on everyone around. Total dick move.
Do you think when he did that, there was like a hipster at the side with a single tear going down his cheek? He could have drank that PBR.
So as soon as we get doused in beer, Jared goes, ah, that's that guy you beat the shit out of last time for touching Aaron. I'm like, eh, whatever. She's not even here tonight. So anyway, he came face-to-face with me, and surprise, surprise, he's too drunk, so he didn't recognize me. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it was after the Strikers went off, the goddamn gallows were on, and this guy comes up and grabs Jared's girlfriend, Iona.
Yeah.
And grabs her inappropriately, tries to take this drumstick out of her hand that she caught from the first band. And so first off, Edge goes into silverback gorilla mode. And he starts walking towards the guy. I'm right behind Edge, but all of a sudden, Jared, Iona's boyfriend, just fucking Evel Knievels over like three people and gets this guy in a perfectly technically sound wrestling headlock that I haven't seen since the CIF finals. He goes right down, and so he's got the guy choked out, and Edge just starts teeing off on the guy and beating the crap out of him again. I'm like, it's always this guy. So I start walking over with them, and I mean, there's nothing I need to do. They're already just handling the fuck out of this guy. I don't need to do extra shit. Then I see the bouncers coming. I'm like, oh boy. So I walk over, I'm like, and like a few people pull them apart, and they're ready to kick out the whole group. The fat, drunk guy, the Gore-Generates, everyone. And all of a sudden, I grab the bouncer, not aggressively. I'm like, hey, I'm not with either party, but that guy that guy grabbed a girl inappropriately. He's like, are those your friends? I'm like, I don't know these fags.
He's always like, good to be slightly homophobic when you're denying
evil. Yeah, I wanted to sell it. I'm like, I don't know these lamos.
Slaps Edge.
I'm like, I don't know these guys, but that guy was in the wrong. And he's like, which one? I'm like, fat drunk guy, there he is. So they throw him out. And then afterwards, the bouncer sees me having beers with all them. He's like, I thought those weren't your friends. I'm like, we bonded over this. He's like, oh, cool, and walked away.
Classic. That's amazing.
My favorite part is Jared, to me, is just the biggest, smiley.
He's like a beagle.
Bear. Yeah. Like, he is just an awesome dude who, if you said, hey, what about that Jared guy? You're like, I'm pretty sure he has never slapped a fly in his life. But it just proves that everybody has their line. Like, you see something happening to your girlfriend, you're like, ah!
Oh, yeah.
As you tell the story, I'm picturing Jared, like, smiling and cheerful as he drags the guy down.
Sorry about this.
It was great. I saw someone post about the drumstick incident this morning. I didn't know what the story was, so I was going to ask you. But this just reaffirms, I have got to go to more concerts with you guys. I swear, every fucking time, something amazing happens.
Dave's like, I really want to get punched in the face. He's like Buster from Arrested Development. Like,
I have a lot of pent-up aggression I need to get out, so I just want... But and also, I'm thinking, too, like, part of me feels like this drunk fat guy is like, you're Tyler Durden. Like, you're just...
It's Ryan blacked out. Yeah. Every time he blacks out, he gains 200 pounds. He just starts fucking shit up.
I just start punching myself in the eye.
In that case, think of it from the bouncer's perspective. There is a fight, right? Then he sees that Ryan just got beat up by these two guys. Then Ryan comes up to him and
Ryan's
goes,
like, no,
I don't know
me.
Either party.
Ryan's like, it was me. I was the one that started everything. It was me.
I grabbed that girl's boobs. So Wednesday night... I get a call from my agent, Michael, and he says, all right,
Ooh, you guess who's got an agent?
Work harder. So my agent Michael calls me. He goes, "You got an audition. I got you an audition for a TV show." I'm like, "Oh, what show?" It was ID Discovery. Are you familiar?
I do. I like to watch a lot of crime. I call murder porn.
Yeah. I call them the "I Killed My Spouse" shows.
Yes, a lot.
It's
of
always
them are
that. And by the way, I love those shows so much for two reasons. Because I love how the guys on ID Discovery, it's like, all right, I have a mistress, and my wife is suspicious about that,
yeah,
and is threatening to leave with the kids and take the house, and everyone knows it. I think I can get away with killing her. I'll just say it was a hobo. It was a hobo. So, every guy on that show thinks they're the smartest guy in the fucking world.
It's so dumb, too, because they leave so many loose ends. Like, they leave loose ends to the point where you're like, did you even think 10 minutes before about what would happen? Like, not even, hey, my alibi is I was 200 miles away doing this thing. Their alibi is like, oh, I was sleeping.
Yeah.
I couldn't have killed her. I was fucking sleeping.
What are those scratches all over your arms? It was a black guy.
Yeah.
My alibi is I wasn't murdering anybody.
What were you doing? Not murdering people, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I'm psyched to get this audition because, I mean, by the way, Erin makes fun of me. She's like, are you watching your lady shows again? I'm like, it is a crime, criminal justice docudrama. It's not lady shows. She's like, it's a fucking chick show. So anyway, I get the audition. I'm reading for the part of Detective John. I'm like, detective?
Yeah. Ooh. You should be the killer for
you
sure.
You absolutely should be killer.
Right. And that's my agent's plan. When I first met with him, he was very honest. He was like, listen, you're never going to be the leading man. You know that, right? And he's like, but I think you could be the next Vinnie Jones. You're going to be the heavy. The heavy is rapist number one, white supremacist number two, convict number three, you know, the scary guy.
I just like the idea that his agent's like, hold on, I got you through the door saying that you're going to be the detective. So what I need you to do is just go there, be yourself, look like you'd kill somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they're like, well, you know what? The age range for this one is early 40s. I'm like, but I'm early 30s. He's like, they saw your picture and then you can
like,
pull
you
off
look pretty rough.
Early 40s. I'm like, fuck you and fuck them. But I'll be there. So anyway, so I drive up to Hollywood Thursday morning, and they give you the specs. He's clean shaven, but I look older with my scruff, so I left it. And I walk in. I'm like, all right, I can do this. And I walk in, and this waiting room is full of guys that I actually thought were cops. They look they got the silver.
Ryan's like, it's a sting. I've been set up.
Yeah. They're all flat earthers. Run!
He just runs into the bathroom, empties his pockets, and starts flushing the toilet.
Oh fuck, Michael, I'm holding you. So anyway, I get there, and the minute I see these guys, they're fucking perfect for the role. On my walk in the door, before I tell the casting director who I am, I'm like, oh, that guy's. Oh, that guy's even better. Oh, that guy's great.
That guy's beating up a black guy right now.
Yeah. That's not all he's going to do. Like, all right, be a cop. Just savagely beat the shit out of a Mexican. Like, filming starts Wednesday. So anyway, I walk in there, and I already know I don't have it. I mean, just like if any of these guys can read, they're better equipped for this role than me. But here's one thing. Sitting in this waiting room, you have to remember, I'm the opposite of an L.A. comic, because most L.A. comics are just doing comedy so they can break into acting, right? Me, I begrudgingly allowed my agent to get me acting roles because it will further my comedy. I want to be able, because you don't know how many times I've been bumped off shows because, like, some dude's here, he was on Guiding Light. I'm like, oh, he sounds hilarious, you know? Like, oh, yeah, he has a TV credit. We're bumping you. So I want that bumping capability, or at least to use it as a shield, not a sword, as Grooms once said. So like, oh, yeah, well, I was on ID Discovery. I was on Married with Secrets, bitch. So anyway, but these guys, I'm looking around, and the stench of desperation in this room is so thick. It's like it clouds my vision. Like, these guys, it dawns on me just by how scared they are and how desperate they are. I'm like, these guys are 45 and don't know where their next meal is coming from. I could never be in that life. I don't know how these guys have done it for as long as they have. If this is their first day at this, I don't know how they could do it. But these guys were like it was the Super Bowl. And so meanwhile, I'm sitting there. I already know I don't have the part. So I'm sitting there texting with Groobs, like making fun of Danzig or something, and I'm laughing, and these guys start to get upset. They're like, because I'm like,
because they love Danzig. They're like, how dare you, sir? How dare Danzig's actually there waiting for his turn.
Yeah, he's trying to be Detective John too. So, like, I start laughing, looking at my phone. These guys are reading their lines over and over, and like, this guy's giving me a look like, take this seriously. This is my craft.
No, but that's honestly one of the nice things, though, about you not taking it that seriously. It's like, because you can enjoy it. You don't have to get stressed out.
Yeah.
You're gonna, you know, if you get it, you get it. If not, who gives a shit?
Yeah, you know, and
it takes so much pressure off you.
What I realized, too, is, and I went in there, and I realized right when I started, and the casting director and the AD is there, and they have their cameras set up looking at me, I realized, shit, I haven't auditioned for something in 5 years, and I was a little stilted. I botched a line, and I realized, okay, auditioning is a lot like when I first started stand-up. There's going to be a lot of humbling, humiliating experiences, but I have to view this all as practice, all right? This isn't like, I need this role. It's like, all right, this is me learning for the next time, you know what I mean? So that's how I'm seeing it moving forward.
It's like the grind of acting. It's just, So what was the audition like?
Well, basically, I had to read from sides. I forgot my resume and headshot. And that was
scribbled it on a cocktail napkin. Yeah.
I drew my face on the back of it.
He just takes a selfie and hands his phone over.
Just keep that. I got lots. So yeah, I read the part, and I know I didn't get it because you're sitting out there, and people are going in there for like 20, 30 minutes.
Right.
And you know, I have a theater degree. I know what auditioning is like. I know for a fact the directors in there are like, okay. Let's try that again, but this time you're angry. Okay, all right, this time, not so loud, you know? For me, I just read the sides. It took 20 seconds. I'm like, thanks, that was great. Have a nice day. I'm like, yeah, I get you. Loud and clear, boss. So I don't think I'll be on the Discovery Channel this season.
It'd be great if you tried to pitch your, like, bonuses to them. You're like, listen, I know I might not be great for this cop, but
I can fit a whole pen up my ass.
Yeah. Do you ever need a murderer who's got a wicked double leg takedown? And then you tackle the AD.
You should have opened by giving some sort of backstory you crafted for the character. Listen, this guy married his high school sweetheart. Things started to go south.
She's fucking the gardener. And then I produce a flask out of my pocket. Now he drinks. Anyway, so that didn't go well. So I was driving home to the audition. It was rush hour traffic from L.A., which you know how that is. So I pull over to this Irish pub to get something to eat because I hadn't eaten all day. And I order some food. And I order a tri-tip sandwich and a side of baked beans. And they bring it out to me. And first of all, the baked beans, just how do you fuck that up? They're covered in these, like,
they boil them.
They're covered in fried peppers and mushrooms. They're just covering it. And you know how I feel about mushrooms.
You disagree with the idea of mushrooms.
And I'm like, excuse me, why is there shit on top of this? That was not specified in the menu. Like, well, and the guy says to me, well, a lot of people like the way we do that. I'm like, understood. When you're having sex with someone, you can't just shove a finger up their ass without asking under the pretext of, well, a lot of people like that. No, I get that they do, but I'm not one of those people, and you could have fucking consulted with me first. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, I love that. You could do that. But
Shores' view on mushrooms, mushrooms are his flat earth. Like, we've universally accepted mushrooms are good. They go on stuff. And he's like, no mushrooms. Mushrooms do not exist in my reality.
They don't.
You're going to miss out on some great hallucinogenic experiences, let me just say, because they're fantastic.
I might try to, like, put that in some strawberry ice cream to mask the flavor.
No. Here, peanut butter. Peanut butter.
Is that right?
That's what covers it.
Okay. So, anyway, not only that, the guy goes, oh, by the way, we're out of tri-tip. That's rib meat. I said, pork or beef? And the reason being is I love pork. I throw it back up. It just, my stomach doesn't work with it anymore. It's
you got a Jewish stomach.
I do.
Super Orthodox.
There's a little yarmulke over my belly button at all times. So anyway, I'm like, is this pork or beef? And I shouldn't have given him the out. I shouldn't have told him what the right answer was because I really don't like pork. And he goes, oh, it's beef. And the way he said it, I'm like, are you sure?
I've done that so many times, waiting tables.
I know, and I have too, so that's why I knew that look. Where,
just whatever answer is going to get me out of this conversation.
Yes, and I completely get that. I'm like, shit, I shouldn't have given him the right answer. So I'm like, I'm like, are you sure? He's like, oh yeah, for sure. I'm like, you checked. He's like, I checked. And I went, because if it's pork, I have to go to the hospital. And he goes, hold on, takes my plate away. I'm like, God, motherfucker, I knew it. And I am so sick, by the way, of having to lie to people that I'm allergic to shit just so they won't try and sneak into my food. It happens with mushrooms all the time. I had to lie to my own family for 10 years, a decade, that I was allergic to mushrooms because they kept trying to give them to me. Like, oh, he'll never notice. And then I'd eat shit, and I'd notice. So I finally had to say, yo, I'm allergic, but yeah, the allergy, my throat closes up and I'll die. So that was the only way to do it. That did, however, backfire. I was at a family function, and I was forcing down this casserole that tasted like shit, and I couldn't figure out why, but I was trying to be polite. I'm like, oh, this is garbage, but I don't want to make my cousin Jill cry. And all of a sudden, my cousin Jill goes, oh my God, I forgot! Ryan's mushroom allergy! We gotta call an ambulance! We gotta get him to the hospital! I'm like, no, that won't be necessary. And she's like, no, you're gonna die! And then I had to come clean that I've been lying to them for 10 years.
You didn't stick to that lie nearly well enough.
What would you done? Yeah. Going to an ambulance, getting an EpiPen in the neck?
Yeah, I go,
yes.
Yes, that's one option. You get the EpiPen. Can't breathe. Yeah, you're like, oh my God, quick, what kind of mushrooms are they? And then they tell you, and you're like, okay, good, not shiitake. All right, fine, that'll be fine. I don't have allergy to that. I'll be good.
You should have committed to it. You should have let them call the ambulance, take the ride. That's why you didn't get the ID channel role. You're not acting hard enough.
By the way, are we going jet skiing after this?
Absolutely.
All right. It's our new thing, jet skiing. Robert, why haven't you joined us?
I might go with you guys sometime.
He's allergic to water.
Yeah. Only salt water. Otherwise, I'd have a problem.
Pretty funny. Last weekend we went, you missed out. I don't know why. And Novin, one of the Gore Generals, he brought his teenage kid with him, right? Mm-hmm. He's 15, I think. And Erin's there in her two-piece bikini. And for those of you who've never seen a picture of my wife, she's well endowed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And she takes off her little slip, revealing her bikini. And I see this kid's eyes just go wide. And I feel so bad for him because I know what that feels like. Oh, we absolutely. All do.
We've all been there.
Yeah, yeah. You're just into sexual maturity, but it's going to be at least 3 years before you're even touching a boobie.
Right,
yeah.
So, like, there's nothing you can do for that kid. Like, I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
And so he keeps trying to help Erin with her life vest.
Oh, God.
He's like, hey, Erin, let me help you zip that up. And she's like, no, I'm fine. He's like, yeah, I can help. He's constantly like, oh, that one didn't fit. Try this one on. He's like, he becomes a tailor all of a sudden. It was great.
Later that night, Novin finds a life vest tucked under his mattress in his bed. He stole it. He's like, ah.
Dude, that period in your life as a young boy, or I guess boy coming into manhood, whatever you want to right. call it, that period is like, okay, you could see a random chick from your class walking down the street in a bikini or walking on the beach in a bikini, and you would be like a little like, oh my God, oh my God. But when you see a buxom woman right in front of you in a full bikini, you don't know what to fucking do.
For sure.
Dental floss covering the nipples.
You just feel like you've gone insane, like you're spun out. You're like a four-year-old on Christmas morning who's been given methamphetamine right before they're about to open presents.
Yeah, like I always said, like, you talk to any man in this room, it's like, could you ever rape anyone? Like, no, absolutely not. Talk to that kid at 13, like, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand it.
And which is why I think we need to like utilize that more in society. Because if you think about it,
what rape?
I was thinking more of the sexual drive, but you know what? Go with what you want. Think about it. What we do, like we have young boys, young men in our society, and we don't give them a lot of hard manual labor. Like maybe some kids in Nebraska or Iowa are doing some farm work or something like that. But for the most part, if you're growing up in Southern California, we're like, hey. Welcome to math class. This is what you're going to be doing for the next couple hours. And then you're going to go to history class, and then you're going to come home and do homework, and then you're going to do this. We need something like the project of the Great Pyramids. We need something that is just massive amounts of work. And the entire way we do it is we get 13 and 14-year-old boys, and we just have super, super busty women instructing them on what to do. They'd be pulling 20-ton blocks all fucking day and never complaining.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like the new AmeriCorps, but like with some sexual elements to it.
And we just have pyramids all over the fucking country that we have nothing to do with.
Yeah,
just...
right.
Yeah, and so, but also, it's to that point where he's like, you know, Aaron doesn't care, but she's aware of it. You know, she's cool. Yeah. But she knows what he's going through as much as anyone at that campsite did. Yeah. And so I did the boyfriend-husband thing where I start now trying to fuck with her using that. I'm like, hey, because Novin's kid's not allowed to drive the jet ski by himself. He's underage for it. Yeah. And so he has to go out with one of us.
Oh.
So I'm like, hey, Aaron, why don't you take the kid out? And he's like, oh, yeah, I want to go with Aaron. I want to go with Aaron. I want to sit in the back. Of the- yeah, I want to go with Aaron. And, she's like, no, I'm fine. Like, please, I got her. I need to lay down. I need to lay down.
To emphasize my point about the pyramid thing, answer this question honestly, Ryan. If the second Aaron took her slip off and he saw her and his eyes got wide, if you went to him and said, here's the deal, kid. We're here on the beach. I need you to dig a hole. It's going to be 14 feet deep, 14 feet wide. Here's a trowel. I need this done by the time we leave. And if so, she's going to take her top off for 0.4 seconds.
Yeah.
That hole would be dug in half an hour.
So you could tell the kid, dig your own grave.
Yes.
And he'd be like, all right, I'm on it.
He would throw the trowel off and start digging like a dog, furiously pedaling with his hands through the back of his legs.
Yeah, but I kept doing it. Aaron was amused at first, then became very bemused. So that was a bit of an argument. Yeah, you know, it wasn't a serious argument, but it was a lot of like, what the fuck, man? You're putting me in this position. You're screwing with the kid. I'm like, it was kind of funny. It was worth getting in the argument because, you know, sometimes there's those arguments where, like, it's not really an argument, but it kind of is.
Right. It is funny what causes, like, friction between couples who have been together for a long time. Like, not some chick you randomly take out on a date, but here's a good question for you guys. Have you ever had one of those crazy big arguments over what you think is so nothing that you're looking at your partner and thinking they're crazy?
Yes, like,
have you
absolutely.
Ever looked at them and thought like, oh man, am I dealing with an insane person right
yeah.
now?
Dude, I just had one a couple weeks ago with Daniel Falkenbach about the shape of the earth.
We said we're not going to mention him
God
again.
Damn it. Bobby, fix that in post.
what comes to mind with yours?
I've had a few throughout my life.
And that's weird. Is it with Jill? Because I don't feel like Jill is one of those people.
Every once in a while, it's with her. Sometimes, now again, I don't count it if it's just a few first dates, because you might be dating a crazy person in that case. It's way weird.
Who are you talking to, sir?
It's way weirder when you're like established with them. Like, I had a college girlfriend one time. Again, a very busty young lady like Aaron. She got mad at me because somebody we walked by on the street was looking at the fact that she had like exposed cleavage. Not leering, not like, woo! We walked by, they glanced, we kept walking, and I didn't say anything. And I remember, like, I was like, so what? Are we supposed to get into a fight, like, on the street? And then she was like, no, you're supposed to defend me. And I was like,
against what?
Am I supposed to dive like a Secret Service agent in front of the bullet? Like, oh, no, don't ever look at this. Yeah. And I realized, I'm talking to her as we go down the street, and I'm like, wait, are you having a stroke? Like, what? You've gone into
you
crazy. And it's not one of those simple, like, fine, whatever, and walk away. It becomes like a huge fight, and it becomes a big thing. And every once in a while, you have those moments.
That whole staring at someone else in public thing, I've been on both ends of that.
Right.
First of all, I've been on the other side where some guy thought I looked at his chick and tried to get tough with me. I hadn't. Right when he said, you stare at my old lady, I was like, who is your old lady? I don't, who is she? I don't even see any chicks around. That girl over there. Now I'm in a position because she was not attractive.
Right. So what do you say that's going to diffuse the situation? Like, why would I be looking at your ugly ass girlfriend?
Oh, she's gross. You know, so that, I'm like, that'll make things worse. The only thing I could say to him was, man, do you really want the girlfriend no one looks at? And he walked away.
Yeah, it's certainly better than my response of, what, that dude?
Bobby, in your situation when that happened and she was like, you were supposed to defend me,
yeah.
I really hope that your response to her was like, what you were kind of asking for with that outfit.
Yeah. Well, first of all, she was. I mean, she had like Triple H boobs and was walking around in a low cut thing that practically showed her nipples. And I'm not saying that you should be harassed at all, but understand that when you do that, somebody is going to look.
There will be
and
a
you,
look.
Yeah. You would again, you would be batshit crazy to think you wouldn't. By the way, if a gigantically ripped dude with like an 8-pack is walking down the street shirtless and a chick looks at him, I would expect that to happen too.
Yeah, dude earned it.
Yeah. I think sometimes we overlook the fact that we are just kind of like raised as different groups nowadays. At the same sense, that's the same reason a lot of men don't understand why a woman might be scared when a guy comes onto them in a shady situation. Like, a dude who's passing a girl in like a darkened street or a darkened alley and like says something to her. It's like, hey man, I'm just trying to come on to her. It's like, yeah, you don't understand what she's been through. You don't understand that that woman could be raped at any time or like assaulted. So you have no concept of like, oh, this is super inappropriate.
And by the way, when you have a creepy face like mine, it sucks when you're behind a girl in an alley and... I know what she's feeling. She's walking briskly now. I had to do things like to make myself seem less threatening, like whistle and shit. Like, la la la, not gonna rape you. La la la.
So, whistling is very Clockwork Orange. And, I want to stay away from that.
And also, I've had this moment many times in my life where I can tell the girl in front of me thinks I'm following her, and I'm like, please don't turn left because I'm turning left. Please don't. Oh, fuck, she turned left, and now I have to turn the corner after her.
It's funny you say that. I've been starting to try and get back in shape, so I've been going to the gym, and I like to go to gym at like 1 in the morning. Like,
why, you still got your chest on backwards,
right,
bitch?
And so I go out there, and you see the same people. The people who go to gym at 1 in the morning, it's the same people over and over again.
You guys are just shadowboxing the gym.
Try the mirror.
Which, by the way, it's a great time shadowboxing the gym.
It's never a good
it's
time.
It's a great time shadowboxing the gym. So part of my routine is I go up, and at the 24-hour fitness I go to, there's like this second-story catwalk you go up to, and it's basically a long hallway. You can
and
see,
I do my little turn on the catwalk.
Hasselhoff's there. It's great. You can see down into the gym on one side. You can see in the racquetball courts on the other, and the entire thing is lined with a whole bunch of like pedal bikes.
Of course your gym has racquetball courts.
And stair-step. Yeah, I know. Super high-class 24-hour fitness. stair-steppers and all that kind of stuff.
Shut
in
up,
a line.
Center.
And so you go up there, and if you get on any one of these machines, you are looking towards the other because they're all in one big long straight line. So I come up, and there is one lady who is on one of the machines halfway through. She's on like a stair stepper halfway through.
And he got on behind her.
He got on right in front of her. Check this out.
She happens to be a very curvaceous woman of color, and so certain, yeah, exactly. But I can't even really, like, I'm not even looking at her. I just get on the machine. It's 10 machines behind her, but it's technically right in the line. And I get on, put my headphones in, and start working out. Again, we're like two of the only people on this floor, so and some of the only people in the gym. I start working out. All of a sudden, I notice she starts turning around and looking at me, and I'm like, okay, maybe she just heard the pedal bike going or something, and now all of a sudden she's suspicious.
He's Bobby's got his headphones, and he's been farting uncontrollably and doesn't even know it.
It's kind of close to that.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry to bury Lee.
Every time she looks back, I would like kind of like smile a little bit, like, hey, I'm a nice guy who's not going to try and rape you here. Just doing my thing.
Now, that said that on your T-shirt. Yes. Yeah, that was made.
No, I was just screaming it. And then she keeps looking back and looking kind of weird and keeps looking back and looking kind of weird. And then she gets up off her stair stepper and has to walk by me to get to the exit. And as she walks by me, I'm like, I'm just going to smile and try and seem like the nice guy because I have to see this woman over and over again. I always see her in passing. And as she's walking by, she just completely averts my gaze.
You have
just,
an erection, sir.
Just looks around.
He's naked on the stair stepper.
I was like, I wonder what's going on. 5 minutes later, I take my headphones off, and I realize I am so out of shape that as I'm on this machine and working out, I'm going,
it's like the time I had the back injury with the free weights.
So I'm making what is objectively perverse noises this entire time.
Oh,
and here
no.
is this woman, this very curvaceous woman on like a stair stepper, and it could be very easily interpreted that this very creepy white dude just posted up behind her and was like, ooh. And every time she turned around, he just smiled at her like a creep.
Yeah.
Classic Bobby.
Well, I get to see her every day for the next couple months anyway. So
you should make the noises even when you're
absolutely,
on the machine.
Yeah.
Another thing, I gotta mention this, is we all in our group, the Gore Generals, we have an inside joke where we go, I like lesbians. And I realize that sounds weird to people that don't know the story behind it. I thought everyone had in our group until recently. I think it was Nova. I was like, why do you guys say that?
First of all, because it's true. I mean, let's get that out of the way.
So I wanted to tell the story behind that. Now, the guy that that this happened with, I don't want to name. I'm sure he'd be fine with it, but I didn't check with him before the show. He's one of the guys that we always talk about on this show and I hang out with. So one of the three. So
it's Dave.
And I've also said this before, is that Aaron and I like going to gay clubs and gay bars because it's the most conflict-free place you could possibly go.
Right.
And it's a ton of fun. And I can get as fucked up on alcohol and drugs as I possibly want to. No one's going to try and fight me. Yeah. I'm not going to have to deal with thwarting off some over-aggressive guy with Aaron. Mm-hmm. It's fun as shit. Now, second thing is Aaron and her girlfriends love to dance, as most girls do. Me and my friend, we do not. We can't. We feel weird doing it. But every once in a while, we compromise, and we'll go to the gay club. He and I will drink beers, and they'll go out and dance with a bunch of beefcakes, and we won't be threatened by it. So anyway, this one night, we all decide to go. Aaron's friend Nino is in from Oregon, and we're all going to go to Rich's. It's a gay dance club in Hillcrest, and they decide, hey, let's all take ecstasy. And I'm like, I'm on board. So, another thing is me and my buddy, we sometimes get crippling social anxiety. And we never know when it's coming on. Usually ecstasy is good for that. This time it has the opposite effect. We take it and we're feeling good, but we both are like, dude, are you fucking scared? I'm like, yeah, I don't, there's too many people. We're already there. We get there. And Nino says, who's out from out of town, she's inviting a Tinder date with us, a straight guy. This guy shows up, and picture the opposite of someone me and the buddy who you guys all know would hang out with. He looks like someone in the Backstreet Boys. white flat brim hat, matching white vest, matching white shoes, white pants. And
he's in the 90s.
Yeah. He shows up. He's like, hey, what's going on? And me and my buddy are rolling heavily. We're like, we're just trying to like hold it together. We both know we're panicking. We're one step from holding hands just to like reassure each other it's going to be okay. Now, meanwhile, the girls are having a blast. Nino's guy gets there. He has no idea any of us are on ecstasy. No idea. And so he comes up to us, and me and let's just call him John because that's his fucking name.
Didn't last long.
I can say his last name. He can't be incriminated by his work.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I don't want his work finding this episode and be like, fired. So me and John are like, keep it together. And he comes up to John, and he goes, what do you do? And he goes, something with computers. And he's like, okay. And he like turns to me and he's like, what do you do? And I went, jokes. He goes, jokes. And he's like, all right, cool, man. And so anyway, the girls go out on the dance floor, and John's sitting there. We're both like holding a wall together. Like, all right. And we don't know what happened to the Backstreet Boy. We're not sure where he is. But he keeps coming up to us and trying to talk, and we both just keep trying to, like, huddling together tribe. And
they're rolling so hard, it's actually Jared.
he puts him in a headlock. He starts smiling like, this is great, guys. This is so much fun.
So anyway, at one point, John leans over. He's like, hey, our girls are dancing with dudes, but they're in half shirts and Daisy Dukes, so I think we're fine. I'm like, yeah, we're fine. And half an hour, maybe 45 minutes goes by. He hasn't said a word. And then he turns to me and goes, tell me if I'm talking too much. So it's kicking in hard now. And all of a sudden, the Backstreet Boy comes over to me. He's like, how's it going? And I'm like, keep it together. And then he looks over and sees two girls kissing and turns to me, smiles real big, puts his arm around me and goes, I like lesbians. And my reaction, I went, and I put John in front of me like a human shield. I'm like, you talk to this guy. I can't take him anymore. And the guy was like, not,
does this guy look like a lesbian to you?
Take him.
I like lesbians. I'm like, so anyway, he assumes, because I put John in front of me like a human shield and said, you talk to this guy. He just assumed we didn't like him, which is a fair assumption. I didn't. And so anyways, the girls are still out there dancing. We're freaking out. I like lesbians is nowhere to be found. And all of a sudden, do you remember a song from the 90s? Rhythm is a dancer.
It's a soul's companion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great song.
They hired that singer who sang that to come out on stage and sing it for this gay club. And the place goes nuts. She's like, she comes out like a queen, and they're going nuts. She's like, everyone say yeah. And all of a sudden, John gets it in his head that he's at a punk show and starts going, yeah. And it's like, yeah, y'all, fuck yeah. I'm like, John, they're going to think we're making fun of him. Please stop. It makes me freak out more. So that she starts singing, rhythm is a dance. And then John just loses his mind. He's like, it's a fucking dancer. And just starts moshing in his, like the little spot we're in. I'm like, I can't handle any of this. So the club closes and we're walking out and John starts to freak out again. So he puts his hoodie up and some gay guy comes over, puts his hand on him. He goes, why you got your hoodie up? Are you the Grim Reaper? And he goes, no, I'm the Grim Rapper. Want my fucking mixtape? And he goes, sure. And he goes, I was lying. I have nothing for you. And this disappears into the crowd. So anyway, that's the story. If you ever see me say, I like lesbians. I'm not trying to be a creep. I'm making fun of that douchebag.
It's always an interesting thing to me, people who use hard drugs in like those really intense public settings. Because like,
listen, never again.
I'm a man who likes some mushrooms every once in a while on my chores. And, that's great to go out in the woods, take some mushrooms, you know, have a good settle home base or something. But every once in a while, that will happen, and I'll be walking back, and we'll have to, like, cut through a park, and there'll be, like, eight people there, and I'll be like, this is too many people to be on drugs around.
Sure. Yeah.
It's always weird to me when people are like, I'm going to take a whole bunch of drugs, and then I'm going to go to a warehouse with, like, 4,000 people crammed into it, and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, I can never do that in public. I've done mushrooms and ecstasy a bunch of times, never in public. Just can't handle it.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be doing that soon. Also, a dude came up behind me, started rubbing my shoulders, and I just let it happen. I'm like, this is awesome.
It was the Backstreet Boy dude.
I also like gay men. Anyway, Dave, you ready to go jet skiing?
Let's do it.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Just one. We'll do one.
Yeah, get on my back, rub my shoulders. I like lesbians. All right, I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. La 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 la, not gonna rape you, la la la. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing.